Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots to talk about this weekend, and we invite you to come directly into the doctor's office and pose your questions. You can call us 888-302-3684. Gets you an appointment with me, and we'll be happy to field your questions about medicine and nutrition. But we got a lot to talk about, notwithstanding your phone calls. It's been a busy week on the health front. And we'll start with a story that is for science wonks and fans of astronomy and space travel. You know, I'm fascinated by the feats of astronauts, and it's really hard to believe that astronauts first trod on the moon. It was 50 years ago. It's just incredible that we commemorated an anniversary of the first men on the moon, something that was a real highlight of the lives of many baby boomers like myself. Being a kid and watching TV and literally watching a live transmission of the first moon landing was a spectacular aspect of our youth. But in some ways, we haven't made that much progress in our quest to conquer space. And they talk about Mars probes and probes beyond. And then, of course, you got a new Star Trek movie which talks about intergalactic travel. But there may be some real practical constraints. And yes, this is a medical story, because there's something strange going on when astronauts go beyond what is called low Earth orbit. There's even a little acronym, LEO, L-E-O, going past what is referred to as the magnetosphere of the Earth. The Earth has a powerful gravitational pull, and we have an atmosphere. The consequence of having an atmosphere is that we're shielded from deadly rays that are present in a deep space radiation environment. There are all kinds of nasty cosmic rays that can damage DNA and challenge cellular repair and recovery. This, according to a new study. What they found was that there was no difference. They looked at the health histories of astronauts. Now, start with the premise that astronauts have been selected as extraordinarily fit individuals. They're brainy, but they have an intense physical training program. Some of the astronauts are a little older, which is gratifying that you can maintain physical conditioning and be a physicist or be an expert pilot and still endure the rigors of the training and the space travel itself, you know, the high G's that you experience in acceleration going up in a rocket and the prolonged weightlessness. So these guys and gals nowadays are in excellent physical condition. So they surveyed the histories of previous astronauts, and what they found was that there was no difference in cardiovascular disease death rate between non-flight astronauts. Yes, they're actually astronauts who are sometimes queued up for space travel, but they don't ultimately travel into space. They're part of the program. What are called LEO astronauts, low Earth orbit astronauts, they both had around a 10% risk of cardiovascular death, which is approximately equivalent to the general population. However, the cardiovascular disease death rate among Apollo lunar astronauts was 43%. That's 4 to 5 times higher than in the non-flight and in the LEO, the low Earth orbit astronauts. So what they did is they did some research on this, and they found that radiation in deep space, once you escape the Earth's atmosphere, say you're on a trip to the moon or you're on a trip to the Mars or other extraterrestrial destinations, the cosmic rays can damage the DNA within the arteries, causing vascular endothelial cell dysfunction. And so this is a big problem. The suggestion at first was, okay, let's study weightlessness, because maybe it was weightlessness that was causing the problem. You know, just the fact that, you know, the blood is pumped in a different way when you spend a lot of time in a low-gravity situation or a zero-gravity situation. But no, even though astronauts feel weak and woozy sometimes after prolonged space travel, and it takes a long time for them to adjust to gravity, no, it turns out that it's not the weightlessness, it's the long-term dysfunction of the vascular endothelium, the lining of the arteries, that can thus render them more likely to develop atherosclerosis, almost as if these astronauts underwent radiation treatment, but without proper shielding of their hearts. Those of you who may have had cancer treatment or had x-rays, even, you know, when you have x-rays, you get shielding. Lead shields are applied to parts of your body that are vulnerable, so that the radiation only penetrates the area that is either going to be imaged or is being treated with radiation, say, to kill cancer cells. Well, no, the astronauts are not shielded. Plus, it'd be pretty expensive to send a lead-enclosed payload into space. Imagine launching a lead-lined spacecraft into intergalactic trajectory towards Moon or Mars. The logistics of that would be pretty nigh impossible. So in addition to just getting there, yeah, you know, we've got powerful rockets, we've got space stations, we've got all kinds of great technology where we can send probes to planets like Neptune, Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto, way at the fringes, millions of miles out there at the fringes of the solar system. The human factor, human vulnerability to cosmic rays, may delay space travel for a long time until we figure out a way to lick this problem. It's a fascinating medical astrophysics story. 888-302-3684. We'll return to Earth and answer your questions in just a moment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, president of the Texas Organic Research Center. As you probably know, it's a toxic world out there, but we can do something about it. Become knowledgeable consumers and use products that are safe and healthy, such as natural supplements that help protect the body's cells from toxic exposure. One of my favorites is Reg Active with ME3, the only probiotic proven to actually produce glutathione in the body. It's the body's master antioxidant, unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals and exposure to environmental toxins. Glutathione decreases as we age. Reg Active is great for rebuilding it, and I strongly recommend it.
Look for Reg Active at Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold. Revolutionary. Remarkable. Reg Active.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 gets you directly into the doctor's office to pose a question to me. And we get a caller. We get a caller from Philadelphia, PA, home of hot air. Yeah, it's been hot and generating a lot more hot air there. Michael, welcome. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I am 48 and would really like to avoid knee replacements. I've been having crunching in my knee joints, and I went to the osteo guy, and they did the x-ray. They said I have plenty of cartilage. I'm having like a lot of pain in certain movements, like climbing stairs. So they prescribed like a rehab routine. But I'd like to know, from a nutritional standpoint, I presently am taking gelatin, like a half ounce of gelatin, in like coffee as a joint care supplement. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Is that helpful? And if not, or in addition to, what else should I be doing nutritionally?
Yeah, gelatin, gelatin's kind of an old-fashioned way of providing sort of a cheap cartilage precursor. Mostly what you're getting when you're getting gelatin is the amino acids, you know, lysine and proline, that are derived from animal hooves. And so you might get a little support for collagen, but more expensive collagen support products like hyaluronic acid, highly purified hyaluronic acid, or glucosamine sulfate with chondroitin seem to do the job a little better, according to research. And it's controversial because some research says, no, it doesn't work, and other research says, yes, it does. And I think it depends on the severity of the problem. If you've got bone on bone, maybe that's not going to help you. But if you year in, year out, you take a glucosamine chondroitin supplement at the right dosage, I think you're going to get some what's called chondroprotection. You may not get a complete bulwark against all manner of arthritis. Now, tell me a little bit about yourself. What's your height and weight, Michael?
I'm 5'10", about 195. I could lose a couple pounds probably.
So there's an issue right there. And part of that is biomechanical, you know, just by virtue of the fact that you're carrying extra weight, you're putting more pressure on your joints. But the extra weight also has an impact because it's pro-inflammatory. Extra adipose around the midsection generates pro-inflammatory cytokines, which can affect all parts of your body, your brain, your blood vessels, but also your joints. And so taking off some of that weight with the right kind of diet, a Mediterranean diet or a low-carb diet, is going to, A, reduce the pressure in your joints, but, B, reduce general inflammation in your body. So there's something's going on there that a relatively young guy like you, 48, is experiencing, crackling of the joints. We call this crepitus. This is something that I look for in a physical exam. I flex people's knees and I put my palm over the kneecap. And sometimes you can feel kind of a riching or a grinding. You can hear a sound, and that's called crepitus, and it's one of the first signs of osteoarthritis. There's some encouraging research on vitamin E for protection against osteoarthritis. I'm looking at a Chinese study here from Experimental Therapeutics in Medicine. The research shows that vitamin E may delay the progression of osteoarthritis by acting on several aspects of the disease. It's anti-inflammatory. It has an antioxidant effect. It seems to delay osteoarthritis progression. Its effect is on the vascular system, you know, providing better blood flow to, you know, within the cartilage, which is not particularly rich in blood flow. Other things that are helpful, curcumin. That's an anti-inflammatory herb. It's the business end of curry, derived from turmeric. That might be a good thing to take. Also, fish oil. We talk about getting a lube job. for your car, well, you get a lube job on your joints when you take fish oil internally. So those are some of the things you could do to slow progression of arthritis. You can also take undenatured collagen type 2, which is has been pioneered in the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis originally, but actually shows some benefit in osteoarthritis. It's called UC2. And generally, you take a couple of capsules of that at bedtime. What you want also is an anti-inflammatory diet. You want healthy omega-3 oils, less pro-inflammatory polyunsaturated fats, less in the way of sugars, lots and lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, which have antioxidant polyphenols that fight inflammation in your body. You also need, as you're undergoing a concerted program of rehab, because part of the problem is that the supporting musculature around the knees may be weak. And as a result, your joints are taking the brunt of the concussion that occurs with walking, running, and, your daily activities. So physical therapy can be great for this. It sounds like you're not in too serious a problem here, because the cartilage has been maintained. And, a lot of people end up getting joint replacements. Maybe that's not your fate.
I hope not. Thank you. That's great information. Thank you so much. It's awesome.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. And a reminder, if you want to get questions to us, you can email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. And that's the way you get questions to us, and we'll read your questions on our weekly Q&A with Layla, which is a feature that we do every week, answering your questions, listener questions. All right. Here's another way to fight inflammation. Frequent nut consumption is associated with less inflammation. In a study of more than 5,000 people, researchers at Harvard found that a greater intake of nuts was associated with lower levels of biomarkers of inflammation. The results were in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And that may explain why a previous study, this study came out in 2013, suggests that nut consumption, people who eat nuts more than three times a week, have a reduced risk of dying from cancer or cardiovascular disease. Well, we know that the common denominator of cancer, cardiovascular disease, is chronic inflammation. Quench that inflammation with three servings of nuts. One serving of nuts is about 28 grams per week. Reduces the risk of death due to cardiovascular disease by 55% and cancer by 40%. You can't beat that. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal, or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 888-302-3684 is our number, should you care to get in on the action with a question or comment. Some of our listeners and readers are troubled this week as Consumer Reports goes commando on supplements. They launched yet another attack on the supplement industry, which is true to form for Consumer Reports, because they never met a supplement that they like. Highly biased in their coverage of nutritional supplements, and they're relentless in their condemnation of supplements. This week, as they published yet another article entitled Harmful Supplements. Now, is this investigative reporting of the highest order? Is this a new form of sleuthing? Have they uncovered some new data that has as yet not come to life? Well, listen to what they have to say. With the help of an expert panel of independent doctors and dietary supplement researchers, gee, they didn't reach out to me for my opinion on this. So I don't know what doctors they consulted, probably some arch foes of supplementation. Consumer Reports identified 15 supplement ingredients that are potentially harmful. The risks include organ damage, cancer, and cardiac arrest. The severity of these threats often depends on such factors as pre-existing medical conditions, as well as the quantity of the ingredient taken and the length of time a person has been exposed to the substance, etc., etc. We found all 15 ingredients in products available online or in major stores such as GNC, Costco, CVS, Walmart, and Whole Foods. And so this is pretty scary, right? You know, you got some dangerous supplements. They're still being sold in retail stores. And what's up with that? Well, their list of 15 harmful supplements is about as helpful as a Consumer Reports review that says don't drive a 1958 Edsel or a 1962 Corvair or a 1971 DeLorean, because the supplements that they list, I practically never heard of some of these supplements. They are used rarely, if ever. And there are some that, yeah, they're used, but they get it all wrong about their potential harm. Let me share with you what they have to say. They say, don't use aconite. Who uses aconite? Well, yes, aconite is sometimes in a homeopathic remedy at a very tiny level, infinitesimal level, almost undetectable. They say that aconite can cause nausea, vomiting, weakness, paralysis, and possibly death. Well, yes, in a material form, but there may be homeopathic aconite where there's virtually no molecular or atomic content in a homeopathic remedy. They say don't use caffeine powder. Well, caffeine, they say, can cause seizures, heart arrhythmias, cardiac arrest, possibly death, possibly dangerous when combined with other stimulants. And yes, I agree that, you know, a lot of these athletic performance supplements, these things that keep you awake, you know, supposedly help focus and concentration. Just go to Starbucks and have a cup of coffee, you know. But if this were true, we need to ban Starbucks. Chaparral. Well, Chaparral famously has been banned in supplement form. It's true that Chaparral is dangerous. And I challenge you to find a Chaparral supplement in a major retail store. Very, very hard to find. Coltsfoot. Well, Coltsfoot is sometimes a remedy found in natural cough prevention or treatment products, herbal products, and they say it can cause liver damage and it's a possible carcinogen. But using a little coltsfoot in a cough syrup for a few days is not going to put you under the lilies. Comfrey. Well, yes, comfrey can cause liver damage, cancer, possibly death. But, you know, maybe there's 3 documented cases of this in human history, and comfrey is not widely sold anyway. So who uses comfrey anymore, as you know, because of its potential dangers if used at high doses for a long time? Germander, that's another one. I've never heard that. In my entire medical career, I've never recommended anyone take Germander, which can cause liver damage, hepatitis, and again, possible death. Then there's greater solandine, which, again, you know, who uses that anymore? But where they get it wrong, something that is frequently used, green tea extract. They say that green tea extract is used for weight loss. Well, that's actually one of the least common uses for green tea extract. EGCG, or green tea extract, is a potent anti-cancer agent. And they say although I've never seen that it can do this, that it can cause dizziness, ringing in the ears. It exacerbates anemia and glaucoma. It elevates blood pressure and heart rate, and it can cause liver damage and possibly death. Give me a break. Green tea extract, something that the Chinese have consumed, you know, massive amounts of green tea, never have amounted to these types of problems. Yes, perhaps if you have underlying severe liver problems, cirrhosis, don't take EGC capsules, maybe don't take it in pregnancy, I get it. But these lurid descriptions of horrendous potential side effects, hey, never take green tea extract? Come on. Come on. What experts are there? Are they consulting? Kava, they say, causes liver damage. New studies suggest that there was a bad batch of kava produced by German manufacturer. That problem has been solved. Kava produces relaxation. It's fine to take. Pennyroyal oil. There's even a song by the rock group Nirvana about pennyroyal tea. We know, yeah, it's an abortificant, part of the underground of herbal therapy to induce abortion. And nobody uses this anymore. It's unsafe, clearly not big on the retail list. Then they say red yeast rice is dangerous. But if red yeast rice is dangerous, it's actually bioidentical to Mevacor, which is an old-fashioned statin, first in the series of statins that was ever developed. So they say it can cause kidney and muscle problems, liver problems. It can increase the risk of side effects from statin drugs. But hey, you know, if you're using statin drugs, then you don't need to use red yeast rice. Red yeast rice is an alternative to statin drugs. And if you're going to indict red yeast rice, then you better indict the whole category of statin drugs. Tell people not to take statin drugs ever, which is not the case. There's yohimbe, which is a favorite whipping boy of people who deplore herbal therapies. And they say that it is frequently employed to treat low libido and erectile dysfunction, but it can raise blood pressure. It can cause rapid heart rate, headaches, seizures, liver, kidney problems, panic attacks, and possibly death. And yes, yohimbe can be nasty stuff. And I can't think of a single responsible nutritionist, naturopath, integrative physician who still recommends yohimbe. We haven't used it for at least 25 years. And so what they've uncovered is basically a rehash of things that have fallen into disrepute and disuse, and mixed in with a couple of things that are perfectly innocuous and, in fact, beneficial. So Consumer Reports, yet another epic fail in their reporting. Hey, Consumer Reports, you want to write a good, you know, review of supplements. And yes, there are some supplements out there that are bad or worthless. I'm here. I'd be happy to consult with you for free so that you can improve the quality of your reporting. Don't scare people away from supplements with erroneous information. 888-302-3684 is our number. Oh, here's something that really can mess you up, and it's on the drug side. Fluoroquinolone antibiotics. The FDA has finally gotten around to issue updated warnings on fluoroquinolone antibiotics. They include Levaquin and Cipro, popular antibiotics. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration today approved safety labeling changes for a class of antibiotics called fluoroquinolones to enhance warnings about their association with disabling and potentially permanent side effects and to limit their use in patients with less serious bacterial infections. They say for some serious bacterial infections, including anthrax, plague, and severe bacterial pneumonia, the benefits of fluoroquinolones outweigh the risks, and it's appropriate for them to remain available as a therapeutic option. But if you've got, you know, a sinus problem or a mild urinary tract problem, and you don't have anthrax or the plague, okay, forget about it. The medications are Levaquin, Cipro, as I said, Avalox, and something called Factiv, which I'd never heard of. FDA first added a boxed warning of fluoroquinolones in July 2008 for the increased risk of tendonitis and tendon rupture. Here's the thing. You take Cipro or Levaquin, and you go on the treadmill, and you can feel excruciating pain in your Achilles tendon and feel a snap. And lo and behold, your tendon has ripped clear through. That can happen, especially in some people genetically prone to tendon disorders. It's a very devastating side effect of these drugs. I have seen patients who are really messed up from fluoroquinolones. We say that they've been floxed. They have FQ syndrome, fluoroquinolone syndrome. And not only do they have tendon problems, but as early as 2001, a colleague of mine named Dr. Jay Cohen, we've had him as a guest on our Intelligent Medicine podcast, published an article entitled Peripheral Neuropathy with Fluoroquinolone Antibiotics. The article described 45 cases of severe neurological problems, such as tingling, numbness, burning pain, twitching, and or weakness that doesn't go away when you stop the medication. It persists sometimes for months and years. 93% of the subjects had other injuries to vital systems. Their symptoms included agitation, impaired cognitive function, serious insomnia, hallucinations, psychosis, manic episodes, joint or muscle pain that persists. I can attest to that. Some patients have very serious aftermath of taking Cipro or Levaquin. Toxicity can involve the cardiovascular, gastrointestinal systems, skin, sight, or hearing. And so hence the term fluoroquinolone toxicity syndrome. And there is no cure for it. I have worked with patients supporting their recovery, and we get some benefit from nutritional support. One of my patients is just saw me this week, who's receiving intravenous glutathione with a very, very good response. So fluoroquinolone syndrome, finally, FDA recognizes that this is a true problem. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. This is Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And this story, I think, is fascinating. Plant compounds give 1-2 punch to colon cancer. Previously, we talked about the benefits of fish oil for individuals who have colon cancer and are desirous of preventing a recurrence. The study showed that there was a distinct survival benefit to those consuming fish oil. Well, here's yet another strategy that individuals with colon cancer can employ from the natural world. Plant compounds give 1-2 punch to colon cancer. Preliminary cell study finds combining curcumin, the active ingredient in spicy curry, and silymarin, that's the active ingredient in milk thistle, inhibited the spread of colon cancer cells and increased cancer cell death. This was published in the June 23 issue of the Journal of Cancer. The combination of these two phytochemicals, curcumin and silymarin, inhibited colon cancer cells from multiplying and spreading. In addition, when the colon cancer cells were pre-exposed to curcumin and then treated with silymarin, the cells underwent a high amount of cell death. So that's pretty good. Suggests that, and these are just some of the phytonutrients, the nutraceuticals that can be employed for patients who, even if you undergo conventional cancer treatment, it's been shown that curcumin does not interfere and may accentuate the benefits of chemotherapy and radiation. So these are just adjunctive therapies that can make a difference. And this story that suggests that, well, you know, it's a time for, once again, the Olympics. And in 2012, we issued a call for the world population to get more involved in exercise. Ahead of the Summer Olympics Games in London 4 years ago, if you recall, researchers reported that physical inactivity was a global pandemic that required urgent action. And so they suggested that people get moving. Well, turns out that people have not gotten moving. Physical activity, inactivity, contributes to an estimated 5.3 million deaths each year. They can estimate it. It's sort of the way that they estimate how many deaths are caused by smoking, how many deaths are caused by overweight. In this case, now, this is an estimate, but 5.3 million deaths each year are due internationally to inactivity. And despite evidence that physical activity reduces disease risk and improves cognition, approximately 80% of adolescents worldwide are not meeting guidelines calling for 60 minutes of moderate to rigorous daily physical activity. So what does that translate to in terms of economic losses? Well, they've also come up with an estimate on that. Based on data from 142 countries, that should cover 93% of the world's population. The researchers conservatively estimated that in the last year recorded, 2013, the effect of physical inactivity on disease and all-cause mortality cost the world economy more than $67.5 billion. So they say physical inactivity is recognized as a global pandemic. It's kind of on a par with smoking. It not only leads to diseases and early deaths, but places a major burden on the economy. So it's time to get moving, according to researchers. And, you know, I think it's kind of a good development that they are recognizing, you know, not just diseases, not just, you know, miracle cures with medications, but looking at lifestyle factors as enabling us to place a major dent in our worldwide disease burden and the costs associated with caring for a lot of sick people. 888-302-3684 is our number. And a reminder, check out a newsletter this week for great articles this week. We took a look at a test for the microbiome. And you can see what happened when I submitted a sample to Ubiome and found out about the bacteria that inhabit my intestinal tract. All that at drhoffman.com, along with podcasts, great interviews, and great articles. Check it out. Be more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine by visiting our website at drhoffman.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. We'll be right back with more.